my arms are so full here. Well, we're going to do some things here tonight, if I don't forget. Who is tired? Ooh, a lot of you. Ooh. I don't mean to be... I know why. Because the pastor and his wife called me over into a room today and said, hey, I want to show you something. Come here. He showed me boxes and bags and bags, like wordless books and wordless pool zipper things and wordless bracelets. And they told me how they put all the things out there, and you guys all grabbed them and took them back home and worked. Whew, man, that's why you're tired. I saw all those boxes and bags. I said, wow, that's incredible. And they said, oh, well, that's just part of the things which they did. And so as we say, thank you, okay? That'll be an incredible gift. We will get that out to the field very quickly. Just in 2 weeks, Lucien Saul, our missionary in Haiti, who has a tremendous evangelistic effort with the children of Haiti, as he has child evangelists going across the island. I'll be talking with him and all day long, and I'll say, okay, oh, look at these. Do you want some? I hope he doesn't take them all. he might. We'll see. But I'll let our missionaries know, and they are very grateful, and we are very grateful too. Out there on the back too, I just wanted to mention on our display is this. It's called here the New Places of Missions, and one of the areas that right now fall under my responsibility. I don't know how long it'll be, but it's called IPM USA, because for years, we've always said in IPM, well, you know, let's go reach the nationals, but boy, look at how God is bringing nationals here. When you look at Hispanic, Arabic, many, many other nations coming to our doorstep. And so just in January of this year, we started IPM USA, which is ethnic church planting here in the States. And it's led by Rick Hurd. He's the one in charge of that, and I just am helping him to get that launched. You can write to him. You can write to IPM to get information and news about it. Feel free to take a brochure there. But it's to help churches plant ethnic churches here in the States. People have contacted him and said, hey, there's people from Ethiopia in our area. Help us start a church amongst them. Help us reach them. Arabic, Hispanic, and so we look for missionaries who know those languages, maybe even missionaries from those countries or from other countries to help come and plant the churches here. So pray for IPM, for Rick Hurd, as this is launched. It's a tremendous, tremendous open door. God is bringing people from all over the world right to our doorstep. I looked on the internet to discover, I did a Google. You know, Google is you wouldn't have found that in a dictionary like 50 years ago, right? But I Googled Muslim mosque in Hanover, PA. And boom, up came a site. Found out they had their webpage. Went to their web page, found out where they were meeting, stood outside of their mosque Friday on 1:30 in the afternoon to be sure they were meeting there, and they certainly were. They went there for prayer. We hope to, as we launch a Muslim ministry, to be able to reach out to them and maybe even bring some training to this area on how to reach the Muslims. They're here in York, too. I saw one down on the mosque on South Queen Street. So they're here in York as well. And we need to be a light to them. This is a little bit sidelined, but it really introduces into what I wanted to talk about because, oops, I probably should have been turning this thing on, right? There we go. Because I went to a conference on about the importance of winning Muslims to Christ. And the man who sort of organized it, the missionary who organized it, who's a missionary to Morocco in North Africa, he said, we in the United States many times have the attitude that, ugh, I hate the Muslims. Stay away from here. We don't want anything to do with the Muslims. And I'm thinking, oh, surely that's not the attitude that we have. That shouldn't be the attitude we have. But anyway, my heart was so touched about that, that when I came back to my church in Hanover, and I shared about the conference, and I shared about that comment, that most of the people in fundamental churches here in the States don't want the Muslims around, don't want anything to do with the Muslims, have a feeling almost of hatred. I was even talking with one other man who was on a Bible college staff. And, oh, he met some Muslims, and, oh, he started to basically yell at them. Why are you here? Just go back to your country. And do you know Matt Barfield? Matt Barfield was here, right? Yes? Okay. And Matt Barfield turned to this his friend, because it was his friend, you know, the man that was the college, you know, professor in a Christian college, and he said to his friend, boy, you told them, huh? Yes, I did. Well, you'll be able to witness to them now, right? No, because you've just closed the door tight. They won't, you know, because of your anger towards them. And I discovered, so I went back to my church in Hanover, and I told them about the conference that I'd gone to and about the saying that many people didn't even, you know, they hated the Muslims, they didn't want the Muslims here, and, you know, why don't they just go home? And then I sat down, just thinking, okay, that's the end of it. Wow. And then the head deacon stands up. And he said, and he started crying. He said, I have to confess. Yes, that's the attitude I had. I tell you, my jaw dropped. I mean, I didn't mean to open a can of worms, you know. But, boy, I guess it is. And then another man who had been a deacon, he stood up and he says, yeah, that was the attitude in my heart too. And both of them with tears said, oh, we're sorry. Lord, please forgive us and we're sorry. So we need to be lights to the Muslims. We need to, you know, the whole theme of the conference is sending the light. And as I look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, I wanted to touch on shining as lights in the world. Shining as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2. I was going to read from verse 1 to 17, but let me maybe start in verse 4, just to save a little bit of time, okay? Philippians 2, starting at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. We'll stop right there. Of course, the book of Philippians was written by Paul when he was in prison. And it's awesome to me that the word joy and rejoice and that theme is throughout the whole book. It touched on it right here in that chapter 2, where it says in verse verse 16 that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yea, if I have been offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He didn't care what it would cost him. He had the joy of Christ in him, and he rejoiced. And even in chapter 1, he touches on this in verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. He was filled with joy. It didn't matter that he was in prison. It didn't matter if he was beaten. But the way you have joy, well, there's a number of things here that he points out. One thing is he says you need to be like Jesus. Because Jesus, Jesus was humble. He talks about this as he says in chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Here he was God. Here he was in the throne room of God, and he became a human being. I mean, you talk about humble. You talk about humiliating, and our missionaries have talked about that theme over these days. Jesus Christ was not focused on himself. He was humble, and he was concerned about your needs and my needs. Now, it all revolves around to give God the glory. But he was humble, and it says here that we should have that same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Be humble the same way that Jesus was. He became a man. He even obeyed even unto death. Well, if we're humble in our thoughts and in our attitude, we should also be like Jesus in our actions. In chapter 4, he touches on that. In verses 8 and 9, he says, finally, brethren, things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatsoever is pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He says, obey. Be like Christ in your attitude. Be in Christ, or like Christ in your actions. Well, then there goes all pride. Of course, he explains in chapter 2 where he's like, don't complain. Don't complain at all. And have the right attitude, have the right heart. Don't let there be any murmurings or any disputings. In other words, even if the other person really is wrong and you're right. So what? Who wins? You know, it doesn't matter if the other guy wins. God knows. God knows who was right. So don't argue about it. Just, you know, be humble. Be humble. But this is really incredible. Because he wants us to be blameless. He wants us to live before the world, shining as lights into the world, as he says in verse 15 of chapter 2. But he says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know what? As I was reading this passage, preparing for today, I read this again this morning. boy, something hit me about that. I mean, you know, sometimes we say, oh, man, do we live in a bad society? Oh, man, is our country going down the tubes? Oh, man, do we live in an evil world? I guess I personally might not use the word crooked, but that's what the Bible uses, and it certainly is an accurate word, that's for sure. But you know what hit me was that those two words, crooked and perverse. And I thought about that. You know, have you ever called someone a perverted person? or you see someone deeply in horrible, horrible sin. And we can accurately say that that person is perverted in his thinking, in his life. You know, see, it's one thing to say, well, I have sin, or, you know, or this person is evil. But it just seems so, we seldom use the word perverse. But that's, to me, that's an incredibly deep, incredibly heavy word to show the deep, deep sin of the society. Because he says that we're in the midst of an incredibly perverse nation. So boy, that's true. That's true. A perverted nation. But you know what was interesting, too? He said that back in the year, well, my Schofield said that was written in the year 64. Well, boy, that's like how many years have gone by? And it's still true. Wow. Things haven't changed a whole lot. The wicked, perverted evilness that happens, that because of sin, still is here. And we're to shine as lights in the world. You know, go back to John chapter 3, if you would. I just want to show you a couple of other verses here. John 3, chapter 3, verse 19. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Oh, I'm sorry, I did that the ASL way of thinking, the ASL grammar. In ASL, they don't necessarily sign the word because, but their sentence structure is like, because men love darkness rather than light. Why? Their deeds are evil. Okay? But John 8:12. So the light has come to the world, and it says here in John 8:12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the person who trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, we have to understand we have Jesus Christ himself, who is the light of the world. This world is incredible, incredible darkness. And our lives, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and we turn towards the light, our lives are changed. Because we walk in the light as he's in the light, and our lives change. And that means that some of the habits that we had, a lot of the habits, it should be all the habits that we had that were wrong in the past, we turn away from and we go and we follow Christ. Now, that might not happen all at once. Because I think what God does with us is he takes his time. He convicts us about one thing, then he works on another thing, and then another thing. And because he wants to purify us. He wants us to walk holy lives yielded to him. So when I was at Penn State and I first heard the gospel and I trusted Christ as my Savior, well, I had all kinds of music that was not good. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, my culture changed. My culture changed. The economy hopefully changed a little, at least in that area, because I never bought any more of those records. But there's not too many bankrupt record companies either. Oh, no, they don't have records nowadays. What do they have now? CDs Okay. But but I still held on to them, still played them a while. But I read my Bible, and I was surrendering my life more and more. Finally, the Lord convicted me. Well, Kurt, why do you have all the records there? You're still keeping them, though. So I took all my records. This was what called. I took all my record albums, went over into the janitor's closet. There was a trash thing. I don't know what help me. A what? Shoot! Oh boy, that sounds good, but no. A basket, like a bin. Is that good? A trash bin. Threw them in there. Walked back to my room. I was real happy. Oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, man, I want to clean up my life. And then I started thinking, Yeah, but all the albums are still there. So the next guy that comes along, he throw garbage in there. He's going to, oh, look at all the music albums. And he's going to get all those things out of there, and he's going to use them. And I said, that's not going to be good for the next guy. So I got them all back out of the trash, took them back to my room, I started just to, and then just break them one by one and smash them. Then I took them back again, back to the trash and threw them out so that no one could use them afterwards. I'm not saying my life is perfect, but when the Lord convicts us about something, we need to respond. Why? Because we're lights. We're like lights shining in the world. Jesus said he's the light. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he said there was a shining light. And he fell off his horse. And he was blinded and he was converted and he trusted Christ as his Savior. I believe that's in Acts chapter 9. And God told, I want to make sure I get my facts right. Ananias, yes. And God told Ananias, who was right there in that town, right there in Damascus, he was a disciple. Okay, Ananias, you go pray for Paul. And Ananias says, wait, Lord, I heard about this guy. Of course, then his name was Saul. I heard about him. Whoa, he's come like to arrest people and to put them in prison. You want me to go before him and talk to him? Go, Ananias, go. Do it. And it says here that the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me. Wow. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Go, Ananias. I have a job for him, so you go. He's going to go to kings. He's going to go to the Jews. He's going to go to the Gentiles. He's basically going to the whole known world and sharing the gospel. And this is just the first step. He's going to be a light shining in the world, or in the world. So Ananias went and was obedient. Paul was obedient. We need to surrender our lives to him. We need to flee from sin. We need to flee from the things that make our lives dirty. Teens, if you ever go into a situation where you're with some friends and you're in a party or something, and out come the drugs, or out come the booze, or out comes the other things that should not happen, be a light. Walk away. Walk away. Say, I can't do it. No, I'm not staying. Goodbye. They might make fun of you. You know, I told you I was saved up at Penn State. And one of the first jobs I had up there after I was saved and I was finished with college, I worked on the golf course. I like cutting grass. Yeah, boy, I guess you have your feel of that when you work at a golf course. I liked it, though. I could have my memory verses and memorize verses as I cut the grass. Sometimes I could do that. I had to be careful. But one time I almost drove off a cliff down. oh, yeah, I'm thinking, why am I telling about this? But my last day, of course, I witnessed. And I told people about the gospel. And these guys, they didn't want anything to do with the Lord. Trust me. They used words and said things that made it very plain they didn't want anything to be, want anything to do with the Lord. But I had surrendered my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, be that light in my life, please. And so I'd witnessed to him, talked to him about the Lord. One day, we were unloading a truck, full of bags, a truckload of fertilizer in bags. And one of the guys who, well, the guy and I, the other guy that was, I was helping, he had his, he was just going through a divorce. And he had known about me sharing the gospel with him. And how I shared about you can have an abundant life in Christ. So he was talking to me, and I was trying to help. But we worked. We didn't stop. You know, I'm throwing him the bags, and he's throwing them in the pile, and we're working as we're talking, you know. We're not stopping the work. No, we're continuing. And then up comes the boss. Again, I'm sorry, this is ASL here. Up comes the boss, and he starts screaming at me, young boy, why are you shoving that stuff down our throats? We're sick of hearing this stuff. And I said, sir, he's having some problems. And he asked me a few questions. And we're working. I'm not stopping my work. I'm continuing to work. I'm not hurting anything. He's going through some problems and he wants to talk. And the boss just closed his mouth and walked away. The last day there, another one of the guys who didn't want anything to do with Christ. He said to me, Kurt, can I tell you something? You know how I feel about your God. And he used some words that I can't repeat. But he said, you know what I think about your blankety blank God. But you know what? I will say that you lived what you preached. And you're an example to all of us. And I took that as a compliment. He didn't want to believe. He didn't want to trust Christ as his Savior. But I could be a light. Now, was I always a light? No. Sometimes I've had wrong attitudes. And the Lord would bring right an opportunity right in front of me. And boy, I'd blow it. Wouldn't even want to witness to the person. Why? Because I had the wrong attitude. I had the attitude of grumbling and complaining. And I have begged the Lord. I remember one incident, I begged the Lord, Lord, please bring that young person back across my path again. I changed my attitude. Lord, I did. Please give me the opportunity again. But I haven't seen that young person again. Oh, I wasn't shining as a light. I allowed the grumbling, the complaining, the wrong attitudes to affect my life. But it broke my heart. Sin is never fun. Oh, God, Satan puts it up there like it's fun. But in the end, sin destroys us, tarnishes our testimony. You walk faithfully with the Lord, people will test you and try you, but you have to let the light of Jesus Christ shine. You know what verse really jumped out to me is I was, one of the missionaries, I forget which one it was talking about, you know, about we're the light of the world, and there's a city up on this hill, and you can't hide that city. You know, you don't put a light up, a candle, and try to, for the purpose of trying to hide that. It makes no sense. If a city's up on a hill, if a candle's up on the end of a candlestick, it's to shine out. It's to not hide it. It's not to hide it. That is just really ridiculous. But as I was thinking about that, my mind went to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is where I want to, in just a second, I'll turn out the lights here. But in 1 Peter 2, 9, I was surprised as I read this now. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into whose marvelous light? His. His. Not mine. His. So it's just like his light is shining. Okay? Okay. And now let's turn off the lights. Okay? And if my illustration will work right. Now, Ian's, wait, is he in here? Oh, no. Then I can talk in the dark and he'll, that's no big deal then. Oops, there we go. Okay, this is good enough for the illustration. So his light is shining on me, into my life, into my heart, and this mirror that I have reflects that light, right? It reflects it. You're getting light in your face because, sort of, because of this mirror reflecting it. It's his light. It comes into our life and it shines out to other people. Now, if I have sin in my life, we turn the on-off switch, try to make it become a dimmer, as a brother shared, and I'm just blocking this light with some paper. And you can't see it. You don't see it. The world, you out there don't see his light. Why? Because my sin is blocking it. We need to confess our sin, repent of our sins, and let the light of Jesus Christ just shine out. See if I can get it to work again. Yeah. Shine out to the whole world. Okay, thank you, brothers. You can turn on that light. That simple illustration. As I thought about that verse, that he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And all we need to do is have clean hearts to let his light shine. But we become selfish. We let sin get into our lives. Our lives become dirty. And we can't shine for him. We can't shine for him. And the prayer in my heart is that we would be his witnesses. We would have a clean heart before him, confess our sin, have a clean heart before him, surrender our lives to him. He'd fill us with the Spirit, and we would reflect to the whole world that they would see. And when they mock us, you know, it's no big deal. No big deal. The first, well, I'll call this classification. You understand the word, brother, in Spanish, evangelico. The first evangelicals, which is a broad term in Latin America, but they call the first evangelicals that came to Chile, he was a charismatic man. You know, he was a charismatic, a Pentecostal, and his last name was Canute. He was from Great Britain. And he went there and preached the gospel in Valparaiso, where he was spit on, stoned, and everything. Now, I don't agree with the charismatic and the Pentecostal teaching, but I'm just giving you some historical background. So the Catholics in Chile begin to call the evangelicals Canutos, after the last name of Canute, of the man who went there to preach. He was the first non-Catholic to go and preach the gospel there. And so a very derogatory name to be called a Canuto. And the Catholics use it a lot. They'd say, those Canutos. And so one day, I'm standing outside of my church. I forget if it was before the church service or after the church service. But I'm just outside the church along the fence. And this teenager walks by. And he says, hola, you know, which is hi. Hola, Canuto. And he probably thought I was going to, like, oh, man, how can you say that to me? You be quiet. You know, he probably was expecting that kind of a response. But truthfully, when I heard that, and I am not joking with you, I was just sort of minding my own business. And he said, hola, Canuto. And so I answered. I just laughed and smiled, that's all. It probably shocked him, because that's a really, it's, you know, like taking the person, dragging them through the mud to call him a Canuto, you know. But I needed to shine for the Lord. I wasn't going to help anything if I got upset. In fact, I did find it a little bit kind of funny, because I said, they're right. The Christians here are exactly right that the Catholics called us that, and they hate us, and they use that name in a derogative. And it just struck me as kind of funny. And I told the church inside later, and they started, you know, they kind of went, oh, they called you Canuto. And then when I told them, I laughed, and they, okay. Oh, we can laugh about, oh, okay. and they saw, you know, because we need to shine to the world who hates us. And it doesn't matter. Some will turn to Christ. But if they don't, we should still have the witness of that, like the young man who said to me, you know what? What I think of your God, it's lousy. I think terrible of your so-called God. But you certainly have been a witness, an example to us that you live what you believe. That's what we need. And that's what the world needs. Let's not be more like the world. We need to be separate from the world. Don't follow the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. There's so much more that could be said, but Lord, we need to be lights shining. Would you please help us with that? If we have sin in our hearts, that's just going to stop the reflection of your light in our lives. Lord, help us to make decisions right now of something in our life that you want us to remove, that we can be your witnesses and go as missionaries across the street, across the town, across the state, across the country, across the world. Because we'll never do any of that unless we're surrendered to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.